यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टेक्स्ट 69 ऑफ चैप्टर 4 कैंटो 9। उपायं कथयिष्यामि तव विप्राशुनुष्व तत् अयम् हि आत्माभिचरास्ते यतस्तं याहि माचिरम् साधुसु प्रहितं तेज प्रहर्तु कुरुते शिवम्। उपायं कथयिष्यामि तव विप्राशृणुष्व तत् अयम् हि आत्मा विचारस्ते यतस्तं याहि माचिरम् साधुषु प्रहितं तेज प्रहर्तुर्कुरुते शिवम्। उपायं कथयिष्यामि तव विप्राशृणुष्व तत् कथयिष्यामि तव विप्राशृणुष्व तत् अयम हि आत्मा विचारस्ते साधुषु प्रहितं तेज प्रहर्तु कुरुते अश्वं उपायं. The means of protection in this dangerous position. Kathayishyami, I shall speak to you. Tava, of your deliverance from this danger. Vipra, O Brahmana, Shrunushva, just hear from me. Tat, what I say. Ayam, this action taken by you. He, indeed, Atma Abhicharaha, self-envy, or envious of yourself. Your mind has become your enemy. Te, for you. Yataha, because of whom? Tam, to him, Maharaj Ambarisha. Yahi, immediately go. Machiram, do not wait even a moment. Sadhushu, unto devotees. Prahitam, applied. Tejaha, power. Prahartuhu, of the executor. Kurute, does. Ashivam, inauspiciousness. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarisha, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a delay. One's so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. You're not getting sound upstairs? What's wrong? Do you know? Because you're usually in the Tulsi service, right? And you hear from here. No volume? Just started. Purport. A Vaishnava is always an object of envy for non-devotees, even when the non-devotee happens to be his father. To give a practical example, Hiranyakashipu was envious of Prahlad Maharaj, but this envy of the devotee was harmful to Hiranyakashipu, not to Prahlad. Every action taken by Hiranyakashipu against his son Prahlad Maharaj was taken very seriously by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this one, Hiranyakashipu, was on the verge of killing Prahlad. The Lord personally appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu. Service to a Vaishnava gradually accumulates and becomes an asset for the devotee. Similarly, harmful activities directed against the devotee gradually become the ultimate cause of the performer's fall down. Even such a great Brahmana and mystic yogi as Durvasa was in a most dangerous situation because of his offense at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarisha, a pure devotee. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। I'll tell you three stories. The first story is in Vrindavan, and once His Holiness Sachinandan Swami was visiting Vrindavan, and as he was walking in the streets of Vrindavan, he saw a very old friend of his who, when he was a brahmachari, served with him together in Germany, and after some time had left Krishna consciousness. It was very nice to see him wandering in the streets of Vrindavan. So he asked him, "Where have you been? I haven't seen you for so many years. What's going on?" So as they got talking, the other devotee explained that some years ago, that devotee was visiting Vrindavan and was coming from Lohi Bazaar back to Krishna Balaram temple. And he had negotiated with a rickshaw wala. You know what's a rickshaw? It's a cycle, like a taxi, but a tricycle, bigger tricycle. And in India, you have to haggle for everything. No price is final price. You have to negotiate. So they negotiated 5 rupees or something. So when he came to Krishna Balaram temple, the rickshawala asked for 10 or 15 or something. And he said, "No, we negotiated. You asked for 5. And the guy said, "No, I want 10. And there was a little skirmish between the two, and things got escalated very quickly, and this devotee slapped the rickshawala. And a few days later, something happened such that this devotee's devotional life completely stopped. He abandoned all the devotees and just went away. No one knew what happened. And so he was now narrating back to Sachinandan Swami that he had slapped a resident of Vrindavan. The principal Prabhupada speaks in this translation, this is the Supreme Lord speaking, that the prowess when employed against the devotee certainly harms he who employs it. Thus the subject, not the object, is who was harmed. So generally when is the perpetrator and there is a victim, it is understood that the victim suffers when the perpetrator perpetrates something. In the case of a devotee, when the devotee is the supposed victim, it is the perpetrator who suffers more. That's the principle. In 2001, we went for Vrindavan Yatra. This is 2001, I think, or it may have been 2007, I can't remember. 2007 seems more appropriate. Yeah, 2007. Went to Vrindavan Yatra with our spiritual master, and we were walking through Govardhan Hill, through the Govardhan Parikram. Very blissful experience. It's tiring like anything. The feet are hurting. The body is tired. And all of that fun stuff. But it's awesome to see and walk with the spiritual master. So we came to a particular place in the yatra where some local Govardhan residents, they wanted to meet with Maharaj and ask for some money, dakshina. And I don't know if you know anything about His Holiness Ramaprasad Swami. He's not such a... he's a very shy person. And he doesn't like getting crowded and, you know. So he sort of deflected and walked a little to the side and kept walking. And he walks very fast. So those persons tried to pursue Maharaj for a few minutes. And Maharaj was just, you know, not engaging in any argument or even conversation with them. He just kept looking straight, chanting Hare Krishna and walking. So we were all following. A few devotees suddenly accosted those residents of Govardhan and barricaded them away. As if that were not enough, they got into an argument with them. And you know, in Kali Yuga, an argument very quickly escalates. So this escalated to such a level that these devotees started yelling at those residents of Govardhan very, very loudly. And almost started chasing them away with sticks. It became a very... And it all took a few moments actually for everything to become so escalated so quickly. And the only thing I could see is my spiritual master saying like this, that he was not happy that it all got escalated like that. It was not necessary to escalate it. But anyway, it happened. And within a year after that situation, that devotee who escalated from our troop, that devotee who escalated all this, became clinically mad. And till date, is still mad. Cannot practice Krishna consciousness. His anger problem has increased and become horrendous. He now lives in a room which is no more than 8 feet by 8 feet. It has been 4 years that he has not stepped out of that room and has had severe mental issues simply from yelling and shouting and almost attacking verbally, if you will, and also trying to attack physically the residents of Govardhan. Then in 2010, we went to Jagannath Puri. And now Jagannath Puri is very strict about non-Hindus coming into the temple. Not just one, many temples are like that in Jagannath Puri area. Jagannath temples like that, Gundicha temples like that. And there is another temple called Alarnath. Alarnath is the temple or the deity that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go and reside near the area when Jagannath was after Snan Yatra, because you cannot see Jagannath. He gets sick at that time, and so no darshan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reside at Alarnath, very beautiful deity. And in fact, if you enter the temple of Alarnath, you can come as close as you can come to Prabhupada standing. Is that close you can get to? And he's called Alarnath because originally his name was Alwarnath. The Alwars from South India used to worship him. It's a four-handed form of Narayana. Beautiful deity. So we went to Alarnath and I had gone in to take darshan. And as I was walking out, so there are two doors. One is right near the deity, and the other is a little far, about 15 feet away. And then the main door of the temple, it's another 15 feet away. So at this interim door, one of the pujaris had stopped Manasi Ganga and her daughter from entering. Manasi Ganga's daughter from entering, Neha. Because Neha looks apparently very Caucasian. She has blue eyes, fair skin. So he was not sure whether she is Hindu. So at that door, there was an argument between the Pujari and Manasi Ganga Mataji. And she kept convincing him, "No, no, we are Hindus. In fact, I grew up in Bengal." So she was speaking in Bengali with him, fluent Bengali. And he was like, "No, no, no, this girl is not Hindu." So she said, "No, no, no, she's my daughter. It's because we are North Indians, maybe we are fair-skinned. She is very much Hindu." She told Neha, "Speak in Hindi, some words." And he was like, "No, no, 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 I know, I can tell." So I was coming out, and Manasi Ganga Mataji, in her, I guess, desperation, told me, "Can you please talk to this Pujari?" So I'm the hero, right? President by the time. So I said, "Sure, there's no problem I cannot solve." I talked to the Pujari and I said to him, "Hey, I know this girl. You should let her in." He said, "No, no, no." And you know, in a few moments, the argument escalated. It became a skirmish. And I told him, "Who are you to decide who can meet the Lord or not? You think you are the protector? And if you are the protector, you should know how to protect. This girl is not. You know, your rules are unnecessary. Your rules are all weird. If you keep the Westerners out, I can understand. It's a tradition. But she's not. And I'm telling you, she's not." The whole argument escalated. He said, "No." We left it, and I said something to him. "You have no idea. You think you're the servant of the Lord, but I don't think you're the servant of something." I can't even remember what I said, unfortunately. I should have remembered. Anyway, so it ended there. We walked out. The rest of the yatra was fantastic. We went to all these beautiful places. We had a wonderful time. We came back, and 2011 was one of the toughest years for me in my Krishna consciousness. I somehow, I did everything I was supposed to do, chanted all my rounds, studied Bhagavatam, took care of my responsibilities, but deep inside, I was not feeling any sense of attraction to anything I was doing. I was struggling, like, what am I doing? I didn't feel like I want to chant with enthusiasm. I was doing it, but that whole year, something or the other was, I felt like my legs were made out of lead, that I couldn't feel any movement in my Krishna consciousness, in my services, in my relationships. I had to put on extra effort just to do the simplest of things. Not physically, internally, it's something so difficult. And I don't know what happened. Suddenly one day it occurred to me that somewhere I've made a major mistake. And I was scanning through my brain, where did I make this mistake? What have I done? Because we were talking about something about offending devotees. And it was going on in my brain. And I was scanning through and I realized that at Alarnath temple, in front of the deity, so much away from the deity, I was arguing with that Pujari like anything. He says, "No, the provis, when employed against the devotee, the provis was, I'm the temple president. I know someone's asking me for help. I need to." And that's where my mind stopped. That you made a big mistake. Fix it. Fix it quickly. Otherwise, your fate will be like that devotee who's become mad and finished. I said, "I don't want to be finished like that." And this is in India. I live in America. There's not even, the local devotees that I can go and say, "Please forgive me, I made a mistake." How am I going to go to India? And so in 2012, February was when the first ILS was organized. It's called Leadership Sangha. It was organized in Mayapur. And I was asked to go. And I was planning my India trip, and it occurred to me, if I'm going all the way to Mayapur, Jagannath Puri is not that far. I should go back,
to Alarnath temple and find this devotee and beg for forgiveness. And I talked to Maharaj and I said, I think this is what I've done. It's a big mistake. I'm struggling. I need to go. And when I go there, I need to fix this. So do I have your permission to do this? Because I don't want to wander into Jagannath Puri, you know, without, you know, the blessings of the spiritual master. He said, yes, the fate of others who offend devotees, you know, is very detrimental. So I made reservations. There's a longer story to it. I can't share all the detail right now. But anyway, I had reserved a plane ticket to go from Kolkata to Bhubaneswar. I had organized a taxi ride to go to Alarnath. Alarnath's not so easily accessible. And fly back to Mumbai. Actually, I was supposed to fly back to Mumbai that very same day. So I had a window of about 4 hours. Now in those 4 hours, I'm supposed to go to Alarnath and find that devotee. I don't know how I'm supposed to find him. What if he was not there that day? What if it was not his service day, right? If he had the day off. Or by the time I reached, he has finished his service. Where do I find him? I don't know his name. I don't know who he is. I recognize him by his face a little bit, right? It's not like a person I know. It's a random face in my mind. So I was constantly praying to spiritual master and Lord Jagannath, please help me fix this. Please, please help me. I'm in a desperate situation. Otherwise, I'd be gone, finished. So we enter Alarnath temple. The taxi enters. And there is a tree in the courtyard. And this panda or pujari was sitting under the tree. I think it was afternoon time. I got out of the car, ran to him before he could go away. He was busy talking to someone, so I was waiting. Once he finished, I went up to him. I said, you don't know me, but about a year or year and a half ago, I was here and I missed with you. I said, I don't remember anything like that. I said, grateful you don't remember, but I remember. And it was very, very inappropriate that I spoke to you wrongly. I was arrogant. I was trying, in the spirit of trying to help someone take darshan of the deity, I forgot that ultimately the deity is accessible only through the pujari. Otherwise the deity is not accessible. The word that is used for the pujari or the person performing the yajna is called purohit. Right? It's a Sanskrit term called purohit. You know what purohit means? Pura means other people. And hita means benefit. Here Krishna says, sadhusu prahitam tejaha. Prahitam, where is it? My glasses. Prahitam. Applied for someone's benefit. So purahita means that person by contacting whom one gets benefited because they have access to the deity. They are the liaison between the deity and the person who's coming to take the mercy of the deity. That's why the pujaris are so powerful in their service or in their position, if you will. So I said, you know, you're the access to the deity, and I forgot that, and I was thinking I'm trying to help a family, and unnecessarily I was arguing with you. Please forgive me. I touched his feet, so he tapped me on the head. I said, don't worry, I don't remember anything, but if you want forgiveness, you got it. Go. Whew. Life changed after that. I felt like I could breathe. I felt like I could do my service. I feel like I could... You know, I was the old, of course, not my challenges in my heart went away. It's just that new challenges were not there. And I felt like I was floating again instead of sinking. So this lesson that Lord is speaking here, that the two things he's speaking here, that the perpetrator suffers a lot more than the victim, especially when the victim is a devotee. And one should not try to do anything that is against one should not subject the devotee to any atrocity. So Prabhupada gives the example of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. So Prahlad was a little boy, 5 years old, and Hiranyakashipu was very strong. He had all the powers, physically strong, mentally strong, verbally strong, hundreds of attendants, and they were killing him or trying to kill Prahlad. Nothing happened to Prahlad Maharaj, but Hiranyakashipu was finished. Although Hiranyakashipu literally had the blessings to be immortal, yet that supposedly immortal person died because of his atrocities perpetrated against a devotee. And in this case, Durvasa Muni is a plenary expansion of Lord Shiva. He is son of Lord Shiva. Right? He was born to Anusuya and Atri. And Lord Vishnu uses the word Ashivam here. Although your Shiva means one who brings auspiciousness, and Ashivam means inauspiciousness. So he says, Prahartu Kurute Ashivam. That when a perpetrator, he tries to do something inauspicious against the devotee, he himself or she himself, herself experiences inauspiciousness. And because he's the son of Lord Shiva, so he's telling him, this is Ashivam, very inauspicious, that you attacked a devotee. So that's one principle. The second is, you use the word self-envy. When Prabhupada writes, you're harming yourself, or your mind has become your enemy. So what happens? Self-envy is when a person in the spirit of wanting to do something well for themselves does something that actually the consequence is more harmful to them, and they are not able to appreciate the consequence, or they are not able to see the consequence, and the harm comes back to them. So many times persons do something that is harmful to themselves, but they think that is they can't appreciate that that's what's going to happen to them. For example, like smoking. It's just a mundane example, but smoking. Here Krishna is speaking about a more refined situation, or a more subtle situation of blaspheming the devotees. But smoking, when a person smokes, it's an act of self-envy. Because although they're doing it for their pleasure, they don't understand that they're killing themselves in the act of pleasure. This is self-envy. Similarly, in speaking with devotees, in hurting them, or doing something that's against them, you think, oh, I'm putting myself in the rightful position, but it's hurting ourselves. So when I went there as the person, because I was asked for help, I had this argument against a Vaishnav. Thankfully, I didn't say bad words or beat him up. But just the argument was totally unnecessary. I could have just said, when I think back, I could have said to that devotee, Prabhuji, please let her take darshan. She's definitely from a Hindu family. And if he had said no, I said, you know, you're the person who knows. Unfortunate that, you know. I should have had more conversations with the family and saying, don't try to fight a system that it's not in your hand. If you get darshan, great. If you're not, then you know you have to take it as Krishna's arrangement. I went and argued with him unnecessarily. You don't know anything. What do you think you know? Thankfully, some protection of Krishna, that I didn't escalate into saying something nasty or, making it worse for myself. It's a great protection, thankfully. Otherwise, I would not be here today. I'd be in some lost place where people would say, he was here, but now he's gone case, blooped or something, he's offended. We don't know. So that's the principle being spoken. So there are two statements. Prabhupada says, service to a Vaishnava gradually accumulates and becomes an asset for the devotee. So Vaishnava Seva, he says, gradually becomes accumulated. The reason, my understanding of why it says gradually, is because we don't serve the Vaishnavas in the beginning very consciously. We serve unconsciously in one sense. It's called what Sukruti? Agyata Sukruti. That Agyata Sukruti accumulates into wanting to serve the devotees consciously and deliberately. That is Gyata Sukruti. And that Sukruti is always the protection. However big mistakes one might make, because there is the asset of accumulated piety, bhakti piety, of serving the devotees, it always protects. Even if there is a mistake, even on the royal road of good intentions, there are accidents. But there is always a protection. And then Prabhupada gives the corollary of it. Similarly, harmful activities directed against the devotee gradually become the ultimate cause of the performer's fall down. Shishupal was allowed 100 offenses. When Shishupal was born, there was this voice in the sky that Krishna will kill him. So his mother, who is Krishna's aunt, came crying to him. My son, you're my nephew, he's your cousin. If he says you're going to kill him, please do something. Krishna says, 100 offenses, I will forgive. So it said that previously Shishupal, he would offend Krishna and say things almost 99 times and then be quiet. And then everyone will become agitated. But then he knew, after 99 I got to keep quiet, because 100 means I'm done. But in the Rajasuya Yajna, when Krishna was asked to be the president or the chief guest of honor for the Rajasuya Yajna, Shishupal lost it. And here's what happened. It says, similarly, harmful activities directed against the devotee gradually become the ultimate. So gradually. So he was all collecting it nicely. So this time, when he was saying all the horrendous things against Krishna, he lost count. So he didn't know when he had crossed 100. And as soon as he crossed 100, the Sudarshan Chakra, cut off his head. So this gradual, one time we say something, two times we say something, we say, hey, I offended the devotee, it's not so bad after all, nothing happened. It's collecting. In physics, you have a concept called inertia. There's a block of wood, and when you apply some force, the block of wood doesn't topple until you collect enough force to topple it. So like that, it's collecting. And one day, it's going to blow up. It's the last straw on a camel's back. Like that. It's the last thing, something will happen. And all that it's been collected will come out against the devotees. So one should be very cautious. And even if unknowingly or mistakenly severe mistakes happen, then one should very quickly resolve it. Here, the Lord says, Vipra Shunushu, you should listen to what I'm saying. Uh, Where is the word? Machiram. Yeah. Yahi. Yahi means go right now. Yahitam. Yahi machiram. In Sanskrit, the word chiram means for a very long time. Therefore, in Bhagavatam, whenever there is talk of getting realizations very quickly, Krishna says, achiram, achirena adigacchati. Achirena means very quickly, not very long, he says. So, chiram means very long. So, those who live for a very long time are called chiram jeevi. So, Hanuman is called a chiram jeevi because he lives for a very long time. So, ma chiram means don't delay this. Don't take a long time. Fix it now. See, some things you have to think about. Okay, when is the right time? But when it is an offense to a devotee, there's no thinking, when is the right time? Right now is the right time. Fix it now. He's telling him, and he's talking to a Brahmin, not an ordinary person. He says, Vipra. See, there's a difference between Brahman and Vipra. Right? What does Prabhupada say, the difference between Brahman and Vipra? Janmanat jayate shudra, samskarat bade dvija. And then, jnanati iti, brahma jnanati iti brahmana. And some higher is vipra. Brahmana and vipra are considered same, but vipra means one who's expert at knowing certain protocols of behavior. He says, you know what's the right thing to do. And the right thing is, don't delay, go right now to Ambarish Maharaj and fix it. So, that's the solution. Any comments, questions, suggestions? Yeah, Subal bro. Subal Prabhu has a comment.
Thank you, Prabhu. I think I have few questions and comes some sort of a realization too, you know, hearing your narration. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
And also, you know, a reflection on that. That one is sometimes, you know, you are put in a position that you have to sort of try to protect or to you know, when you may, it may appear that, you know, someone is actually doing something to a devotee, that, you know, you have a relationship and you are, you know, propelled to protect. So and in this situation is by other, you know, it could be by another Vaishnava or another. So obviously your message is that you have to be very careful and very, you know, even. But in one sense you have to be able to recognize and draw that line, you know. I mean, if you can comment about that one thing, let me just say the other one.
And what is the line that one has to draw?
Well, how much you have to, you know, ascertain that type of protection, or, you know, or how you recognize that it's actually required to set the thing straight, you know. Like, for example, you tried that time, you know, some injustice was done, the family were in distress, you know, they wanted to take darshan of the deities, and obviously the pujari may have been, you know, blinded towards that type of thing. So, you know, it was not a just thing and you were trying to put it straight, you know.
I thought I was, but I should have seen it in a different way, which I didn't. I got carried away by my by the plea of help, and I just saw here Prabhupada writes, one in the so-called prowess. I saw myself as the problem solver. I saw myself as the powerful person who is, you know, the president, the devotees are asking for help. I have to be there. But I didn't see that this is a system that even Haridas Thakur did not violate. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not ever go to someone and say, that is Namacharya. What are you talking? This is Namacharya Haridas Thakur. And I am Lord Chaitanya who is revolutionizing this world with the Hare Krishna mantra. Who are you to stop Namacharya Haridas? Not even once. You would bring prasad every day for Namacharya. I didn't see it that way, no? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the leader, but he never violated something that's been going on for as a tradition for millions of years. I violated it. Why? Because I was the, at least in my mind at that time, I was the guy. So later I've been reading about being a leader, what it means. And there's a statement that stuck in my head after that. It has stuck forever. I hope, till I'm tested again, then we'll find out. That a person is a leader only because the followers have invested in the person that power. If the followers withdraw that power from the leader, he's not a leader anymore, he or she is not a leader anymore. Let's take, I was the temple president previously. If all the devotees in the community said, whatever man, we don't care. And if I tell someone, okay guys, new service, we need to do this. And they say, talk to the wall. Nothing would happen. Nothing would happen. I can shout till the cows come home and say, I'm the president, everyone should follow what I say. And they'll like, and walk away. What will I do? It's the power the followers invest in the person that makes the person the leader. That's as simple as it. And if the followers withdraw the power, they're gone. And therefore the leaders have to serve the persons so they can feel confident, okay, and invest into this person as my temple president, and they will follow along. So I got, oh, Manasi Ganga Mataji is begging and pleading, and here I come. Hey, what do you know? Who are you? And the deity is right there. It's not like, you know, somewhere. Of course, deity is everywhere, but right in front of the, like literally under the nose of the deity, is arguing with this guy. I should have just said, Mataji, can you try? Please let her in. No, Mataji, I tried. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't change, who am I to change? Right? I could have said, if you are having concern, take it to Guru Maharaj, you're sitting right there, he's our leader, please. No, I jumped in. The prowess, one so-called prowess. This, the word is so amazing, Prabhupada is writing the word prowess. And Krishna is using that word here also. Well, I can't find it, but the power, he says.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like I'm avoiding going to New York, because it fumes me if I hear something that is being said about my Guru Maharaj.
You're going to New York?
No, I'm avoiding thinking like that. Because if I come across with something like that, then I won't know if I contain myself. So, and this is things that I've been saying, but Vaishnavas are different, you know, ranks, you know. Obviously, I'd be more cautious, you know, with Shri Swami's god brothers. But, you know, I'm still, because it makes me upset. So that's the part that I'm thinking, you know, I mean, obviously your message is, your realization, be very cautious.
You know? If it's not our service, and we can't change it, and we've not been empowered to do so, we can't do so. If the service is given, I'm going to say your name, Subal Prabhu, go to such and such place, New York, whatever, and fix it. And then you say something that says, this is not correct, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're protected. But if I just show up there and say, who's the person who's speaking about it? Let me see. We're digging a nice big one. I shouldn't do that. I mean, at least, who am I to tell you, but you get the idea. I'm not saying that you're digging your grave. That's not my point. The point is, I'm talking from my side, that we, as a principle, I'm speaking that uncalled for. Now, among peers within the family, we shouldn't think, oh, it's not my service. I can't say this. If I see something, I shouldn't say. That is disservice. Among peers as one family, when we see something, we shouldn't just wait and say, oh, I cannot. No, we should be able to say to each other, that's not okay. Can you please fix that? Or, you know, that's your service, or, you know, someone has neglected that service, can we do it again? Or you need to something, but that's okay. Here is talking about perpetrating it to the point of killing the person. For what? He drank water. For such a small thing, you have a big reaction.
Mm. Yeah, I'm reflecting on my Krishna conscious life. The most difficult time of my Krishna conscious life came after me going head to head with the temple president in New Jersey.
Mm.
That took, you know, separate myself, you know, I start brought up, you know, convinced, just head up the whole, you know, everybody, let's start something else.
You know, arguing with the temple president is not a wrong thing.
Well, it was not an argument, it was just a head-to-head, you know.
No, I'm saying it because it's being recorded and people will hear it. Having a dialogue, sometimes even arguing or even disagreeing is fine, as long as it's in the spirit of service and it is in the benefit of the devotees. You can have. As long as I was temple president, I've had many arguments. My own devotee, when I say my own devotee, people that are very close to me, argued with me many times. But it was never personal against me, it was a principle. And those devotees would be in the spirit of, we think this will be nice for the devotees. And I was always in the spirit of, also think it will be nice for the devotees. But I may have an idea and they have an idea. And we always sort of talked it out. Which is okay. Which is perfectly okay. But I hope not that no one was harboring inside, you know, let's kill this guy. I hope not. I don't think so. But yeah, I get the idea. Then it is a big thing. Or if in my mind I harbor against some devotee, very young, new, you know, you don't mess with me as the temple president, I'm going to finish you. Then I'm done. Kishore, you're watching. And they would finish me.
Anyway, I'm going to follow you. I don't think I ever had the conscientious coming to this devotee, although we have a wonderful relationship. You know, to actually ask for forgiveness. I do it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we may not think of killing someone, but, you know, there's some, what's that, we harbor, not we, but one may harbor, you know, something happens to them. No, we should be careful. All right, anything else? Oh, Krishna Archana Mataji.
Nityananda Prime Prabhu, you were in many sense, you know, really highlighting know, that usage of that word prowess, so it's actually using one's might, one's position, one's leverage.
Ability, skill, whatever it is.
So of course the story, the very personal story you recounted, had to do with using it for a purpose that appeared commendable and within your realm of personal control, because it's somebody that you were serving in a regular, in your regular role. So of course, you know, you spoke about the dynamics of the situation and that there was a broader structure, so you were actually out of your normal role in one sense, at least in that situation, because right. The person that you were interacting with, it was, their role was extremely important. So, you know, that's put the dynamic into a different space. So I was reflecting on this a great deal actually through the course of the class, because, you know, I have found myself in a situation, you know, one time where a person employed prowess, leverage, position, and it appeared to be for, you know, a commendable purpose. It appeared, and I'm sure from, at least from that person's point of view and how it was expressed, because I explored it subsequently, but the peculiar thing was that it was used in relation to service I was performing, and but there was no dialogue with me about that. So some moves were made that kind of...
marginalized.
Yeah, you could say, yes. And it was a very specific direct. I was on the point of performing a service. It was, you know, part of a whole morning meditation, regular service, and I had to step away for a minute because it was pujari related and go to the bathroom. So I had it super timed, but and then, you know, I was going to head back to the altar. But in that brief moment, somebody stepped in using leverage, prowess, etc. And when I emerged, somebody else was performing the service, and I had to reflect on it quite a bit, because, you know, it's a very close service to the deity, which is something you were pointing out in terms of that interaction that you were involved in Jagannath Puri at Alalanath. So I had to reflect a great deal on it, because I actually, my experience was one of being distressed, like extremely distressed, because, you know, it's a deep meditation and it's, you know, regular activity that was performed, it was being timed, it was, you know, everything was controlled. And it was not a person that actually... either I was responsible to or that person was overseeing me in any way. In fact, that person made an inquiry from somebody who was kind of overseeing that department, just, you know, where I was. It was explained that, oh, no. So anyway, I had to reflect a great deal on this, and I found myself thinking that... I'm not responsible for the other person's action, but I had to deal with my own distress, and it took quite some time to go past that feeling of distress, because, you know, when it comes into service to the deities, it's such a close personal space. So I resolved that if such a situation arose again, the particular way of handling it would be to draw the person, ask the person the direct question, is this service that you are performing this area? And actually, when I did it next time, the person had to stop for a minute and step away. So I think your recounting your particular episode just highlighted that point for me, and it was also in response to Subal, that important aspect of the service one's performing and what the parameters are that allow for a particular kind of behavior. So thank you.
Well, thank you. You see, one of the quintessential stories of this theme, I forgot to narrate, it comes in the 10th canto of the Vrikasura demon who was running after Lord Shiva to put his hand on Lord Shiva's head, because Lord Shiva gave him the blessing which he asked for. If I touch someone's head, it should blow up into 1,000 pieces. And long story short, Krishna tricks him into putting his own hand on his own head. And he dies, that the demon dies. Now if you look at Mahabharata, the prowess is not just the power. Here Hiranyakashipu is given as a person who is very strong, and his own strength and his own sense of immortality brought him death. Right? So Shakuni in Mahabharata is the guy who's the cheating guy. He's the slippery as the eel, you know, as they say. He's very slippery. And it is that thing that brought him his death. And Bhima was all about cheating, right? He tricked the Pandavas into playing the game of dice. He tricked them into going into the forest. And in the forest, he created the house of shellac and burnt that. So everything was unfair. How did Duryodhana die? Unfair. Bhima hit him below the belt. So everything that this person's have done against the devotees, that very same thing was Krishna used that back to finish them. Karna, same thing. There's a whole story of Karna. But then Karna, Dushasana, all of these persons. So that's the principle Krishna is speaking. The very prowess, it turns around. And one feels, one is dished back that very same thing that they want to dish to the devotee. So, okay, 8:30, I have to run to work, thank you. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
We have to give 100 rupees back in time.
Oh my God! No, the thing is, what's his name? Yashodmati Dandan Prabhu is landing in 1 or 2 days because there's no water and all that. I made arrangements to stay with Gajendra Moksha. Gajendra Moksha just texted this time. His father is in a serious condition, so Gajendra Moksha is going away to India. There's no place for him to stay. I got to figure out a place for Yashodmati Dandan Prabhu to stay. Hari Bol Naveen. Agunara. Name by Naveen.